Good evening, everyone. I greet you this evening in the precious name of Jesus. Enjoyed that singing again very much. Our congregation is also very much of a singing congregation. We have different groups singing, and my son's in Garment of Praise. And our youth just got back today from the ACE Regional Convention, and they have competition with many other schools. Just so happens that the ACE school convention in this area, which is up near the Poconos, is probably 3/4 Mennonite. And so we run competition like with Central Mennonite, down in Delaware, and Snow Hill, Maryland, and Mountain Anthems, Mountain View, Fairview. And I'm proud to say that our choir got first place. Central got second. Now, I won't tell you where Central got first. No, we had a good time, and our students came back with all kinds of medals hanging on them. So I think the mixed trio, I think they got first place. And so it's wonderful to see young people develop their talents for the Lord. And many times when they're working, they're in ACE to prepare for the student convention, they develop their talents. And I can see them using their talents for many, many years after that. So I thank the Lord for ACE. I feel sorry if you have a conventional classroom. No. I just like to tease you a little bit, okay? This evening when my wife and I got in the car, the radio was on, and I heard the beep, 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 beep. You know, then I said to my wife, let's listen what's coming on here. And he said, there's some very severe thunderstorms moving this direction. And by the time we got here, it was very black over in that area. It almost seemed like this was kind of the edge of maybe the storms for right now. But when we came here, it was windy. It undo anybody's hairdo, okay? It was windy. You could hardly get in the building. The doors were just pulling back around, and it was. But you know what? Inside this building, it was calm as could be. This building, you remember what I talked about last night? The building that had a good foundation is going to be able to stand the storm. We talked about the foundation, we talked about the wind, and we talked about the rain. Both of them labored very, very hard to build them houses. The house that was built on the sand, they worked very, very hard to build that. Put a lot of time and energy in it. The one that was built on the rock, that was built the same way. The only difference was Jesus Christ, the foundation. A lot of people today, folks, are working and working in building a house, and it's all in vain. So, last night, we were doing a codes check. I never look forward when inspectors come, and I have them coming all the time, either in our school or one of my houses. This one inspector was a meanie. When this guy came around, I said my prayers. Because he'd poke his screwdriver in any little corner to see if it was, and he'd really look, and he was grumpy. I decided I'm going to do whatever I can do to become this guy's friend, because I'll have to deal with him a long, long time. So he came to inspect one of my houses, and we were down in the basement, and he was looking, feeling, touching, you know, and his telephone rings, and it was either the doctor or a nurse or somebody called him about his wife that was in the hospital. And he was on the phone quite a while, and I was starting to get, you know, let's get on with it here. But I thought, no, I'm going to use this as an opportunity to ask about his wife and the phone call. And so after he hung up, he apologized to me, and I said, oh, it's no problem. I almost fibbed. But I said, it's no problem, you know, no problem. And I asked about his wife, and he told me about his wife, and I told him that I'm going to pray for her. I'll pray for her. And you know, next time I saw that man, he was ready to stop and talk to me about his wife. We had another mean old man in our neighborhood, a neighbor. I mean, he was mean. Nobody liked him. Nobody liked him. So I decided I'm going to try and become this man's friend. Whatever I have to do. He'd drive one of these big motorcycles. And he'd drop the F-bomb on you different times. People in our church, you got in his way, he dropped it. Mean, ugly. So I decided, well, what I'll do is I'm going to wave. Every time he comes down past our house, I'm going to wave to him. I waved for years. He would not look at me. He'd come, I'd wave, you know. And he had an old truck, too. One day he stopped. I thought, oh boy, here we go. I wasn't sure what'll happen. He stopped up, and he wanted to tell me that his mother-in-law died. Well, you know, what was that to me? His mother-in-law died. You know what? He really wanted to talk to me. And I became his best friend. Now when he's not converted yet, but he's getting closer. I have to tell you, one time, he would come up behind our house, and there's a kind of an alley going up to the houses up back of our house, and he would rip up the grass. I would always try to have the grass to grow, and so when it rains, it don't wash out. He'd come there spinning his head, you know, making a mess out of it, and I never felt real good about it. But one time, my wife's a stonemason, okay? My wife can do about anything. I'm serious. She can carpenter. She can lay stones. She sews. That sewing machine runs 6 days a week. And if she could, I think she'd run it 7 days. No, not that bad, but she loves to sew, okay? And anyhow, this man, he got stuck three-quarters way up the hill. It wouldn't go anymore. And it starts sliding back. The wall my wife built was about this high, in a nice stone wall. And his car comes sliding back. And guess what? It landed up on that wall balancing. And this is before we were friends. And I was saying in my heart, good, you deserve that, boy. Having your vehicle balancing on that stone wall, you know. That wasn't very nice, was it? No. You know, if you're going to be a friend, have a friend to people like that, you're going to have to be a friend. And I'm so glad it's because of Jesus that helps us to be what we really are. This last summer, I was working at one of my houses. I bought a house across the street from the school. And the house next to the house that I bought, there's about a dozen teenagers sit there. And they cuss and they swear. They use the most dirty language that you can possibly think. Okay? So I got tired of it. I could hear it. So I decided I'm going to walk out on the porch, on my porch, and I'm just going to start preaching. And as long as they stay there, I'm going to preach. So that's what I did. I went out on the porch, and they were cussing and swearing. And so I got out on the porch. My subject this afternoon is the judgment of God. And, boy, I tell you what, I preached Jesus to them. And slowly, one by one, they got off the porch and left. I went back to work, and I was working. And soon I heard someone out there preaching on the judgment of God. They were mocking, you know, but I didn't mind. At least I knew they got the message. Folks, we have a message of Jesus that the world needs to hear. And maybe it's because we don't know who Jesus really is that we don't appreciate Him as we really ought to appreciate Him. Did you tell Jesus today, "Jesus, I love you. I love you, Jesus." I go to a lot of children and young people at school often, and I go up to them and I say, "Do you know that Jesus loves you?" "Yeah, we know." "Do you love Jesus?" "Yeah, we love Jesus." Do we really know who Jesus really was? Open your Bibles now with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'd like to read the first 12 verses. We're going to talk about the chief cornerstone. Remember, I said, when this was windy here, because of the good foundation, the storm that was blowing out there really, I don't think, faced this building. The building here is still standing. And the difference is having Jesus as our foundation. You will, folks, you will have storms in your life. You may have one tonight yet. You may have one tomorrow. You will have storms. And how wonderful it is when them storms come that we can make sure that we are built on the rock of Christ Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speaking." So we're to put this away. All right? "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." To see the baby, a little baby, the mother nursing the little baby, and that baby desiring that sincere milk from its mother. And it, as it does, it begins to grow. Are you growing spiritually tonight? Or are you where you were last year when you had revival meetings? I hope you didn't quit growing. You know, if we had a boy in our school. He was about, maybe 8, 9, 10 years old. If I tell you who it is, some of you would probably know. He quit growing. And so they went to the doctor. They said, "Doc, my child isn't growing. There's something wrong." So they gave him some kind of medicine. I don't know what it was, but it worked. And he started growing. Folks, as Christians, you want to grow. If you're not any more whole, if you didn't grow since this last year, you know there's something wrong. You got to make sure that you are growing. "If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Have you tasted that? That the Lord is, He is so gracious. I have a mother that's 89 years old, and she's next to my wife. But I tell you, my mother is so gracious. You want to visit an old lady that is gracious, you visit my mother. I'll tell you, she's the sweetest old lady that you want to find. And then I know another old lady, okay? And she's, don't quite cut it, all right? She just don't quite have it. But my mother, she is gracious. She has tasted of the Lord, and she is a wonderful mother. "To whom coming as unto a living stone." We want to be a living stone. We want to be a stone that is very important in the part of the building. "Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." Isn't that something, folks, that you are chosen of God? God chose me to be Jay Fox. He chose me. He made me. I shouldn't say I can't help for what I am. But when he made me, he threw away the blueprint. My brother Stanley, if you know him, you know I'm the best looking one of the foxes. No. But you know he makes us. And if he does make two of us alike, we get so confused. We have a set of boys in our school. They're about your age there. No, they're a little older than you. How old are you? 16, 14, 13, 12. These are black boys in our school. And I cannot tell them apart. I cannot do it. Neither can my wife. She had both. They look so near alike that we had to put them in two different learning centers so that we know which one is which. So I said to the twins someday, my wife really didn't appreciate this, but I thought it's worth it. Repentance afterwards. I said, let's switch the boys. And for every hour that you can fool your supervisor, I'll give you $1. All right? So they were really into it. They came to school that morning and said, are we going to do it? Yep. I said, this is the morning we'll do it. You work your brother's paces and your brother will work your paces. And you see how long we can get, how long you can get away with it. Well, it went good for the first hour. Break time came. And one of the students looked at this one black boy and said, you don't belong in this class. The boys didn't like that. They wanted to earn some money that day. But, you know, God makes all of us so different. And he throws away the blueprint. And we become a very, very important part of the building, chosen of God and precious. My wife is precious to me. We are precious to God. God doesn't create junk, folks. He don't create any junk. When God created you, he created you in the likeness of man, of God. He put our talents and our abilities in us. He makes us what we are. He's a wonderful and a great God. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to enter up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God in Christ Jesus. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. Now they tell me the cornerstone is not as, if you're a carpenter, I might be wrong, but they tell me that a cornerstone doesn't mean as much as what it did back there. A cornerstone was the most important stone of the building. And so he says here that the chief cornerstone, and that chief cornerstone, folks, tonight is Jesus Christ. He has to be the center of my life. He has to be the center of your life. There may nothing come in the way between God, between Jesus, and any other thing. We are to be placing him first. Unto you, verse 7, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Even so them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they are appointed. But notice this, I love to be chosen. I remember when I was in grade school or junior high or wherever it was, when they would pick ball teams. Oh, I didn't like that. And the best player was chosen first. On this team, and then this team over here chose the next best player. And if you were standing there till the last one, you started getting a little bit uncomfortable. You were wishing they would choose you. But God chose us. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people that should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Oh, what a blessing it is to be chosen of God. He has chosen us, and the rewards are great. When they have their awards banquet, awards rally, today, I'll tell you what, does it ever make a lot of noise? Oh, they clap and they cheer and they carry on, and they're so excited about the reward that they got. But I want to tell you, folks, Jesus is coming, and He's going to reward us someday. And it's going to be the greatest reward. I must admit, I still kind of like to be rewarded once in a while. You can't let it go to your head. But it's good to reward people. We reward our students at school. And when they know that they are chosen and they are loved and they are rewarded, and they're going to call us, he called us out of darkness into a marvelous light. Praise the Lord. Well, we want to talk just a little bit about Jesus this evening. Jesus was a man, he lived in poverty. He was a man, he was not wealthy. When people would follow him, he'd say, "Follow me." He would say, "The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have a nest." But he said, "I have nowhere to lay my head, but just follow me. Just follow me." I remember when the Lord called my wife and I to go to the city of Reading, and how I had to surrender, I had to give up. I tell you what, the last place that I wanted to go was to follow Jesus in a city. I was a country boy. I was not a city boy. My wife started praying for me, and she prayed. I didn't know one day that she was doing a lot of praying for me. I want to tell you what, there's two things, man, if you want something to happen, get your wife to pray and children. I'll tell you what, when I really want something, I get the children to pray at school because their faith is so strong and it's so sweet, it's so precious, that they really believe it's going to, I mean, it's a good chance of it happening when you have children pray. Well, my wife was praying for me one day. I came home from work not knowing. I just got a nice new bulk truck that I would haul feed to farmers, and I liked it. That was fun. I really enjoyed that. But my wife prayed for me that I would be willing to go where the Lord wants me to go. I came home that night and I felt different. I said, "Okay, Lord, whatever. Now, if I go overtime tonight, I show you who you blame." That girl right there. She told me not to watch the clock. Okay? So, you see her if I go past 8:30. All right. Well, anyhow, I came home and I said to my wife after she spent the day of praying, I didn't know it. I said, "Okay, Lord, whatever you want me to do, wherever Jesus wants me to go, I'm willing to go." I want to tell you, folks, that was the best thing I ever done in my life. Just to throw up my hands and get out of, are we in Lancaster County here? Okay. And get out of, I'll say it anyhow, and get out of Lancaster County. Okay, and move into the city somewhere. You know, everything didn't make a whole lot of sense to move in a city, then have 8 children, and then have most of your grandchildren in the city of Reading. You know, that wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. You know what? When God speaks and Jesus says, "Follow me," you don't have to worry whether the foxes have holes, whether the birds have nests. I am so convinced, folks, that the Lord is going to take care of you. He took care of my wife and I and my family in a tremendous way, in every way, even finances. I never prayed to get rich, and I'm not rich. According to the people in Haiti, I am. My wife, she don't think we're rich. I kind of think we are. But we don't go hungry. We have You know, we have what we need. He had no wealth. He had very little influence as a child. He had no training. That always made me feel good. He had very little education. That made me feel good. As a child, he startled the king. I remember going into the city of Reading. I startled the king there. I startled the mayor, okay? He startled me kind of too. When we started our school, I didn't know nothing about zoning. I didn't know. I just thought you open up the doors and say you're going to have school, and that's it, you know. Well, anyhow, we got a notice from the city. You know, what are you doing? Well, we started a school. Well, you can't start a school. You got to have zoning. What's zoning, you know? So anyhow, there was a hearing. And they left us have it. Then when we came to build our gym, bought our last school building, again, I was called in. And the mayor was complaining. He was complaining of the fact that if we open this building here, we're going to lose all our taxes on this building. And the zoning board was sitting there looking at me. You know how it makes you feel a bit uncomfortable. I said to the mayor, I said, "May I speak to that?" He said, "Yes, you may." I said, "Mayor, I said, if we would have a Christian school in all the different communities in the city of Reading, I said, we could knock the police force in half. We wouldn't need all these police." I think he thought I was a priest, and you know, I had my plain suit on. He said, "Yes, Father, I don't think you'd be any more right." Well, folks, Christian people, when you follow Jesus, you're going to startle the king. As a childhood, he puzzled the doctors. His manhood, he changed the course of nature. He walked out on the sea, and he said, "Peace, be still." As the people were watching them, they said, "Isn't this the carpenter's son? And look at all the things that he's doing." You know what, folks? People ought to look at you and say, Use your last name, Byler, whatever it is, and say to you, "Who are you? Look what he's doing." One man in God, folks. One man, that's all it takes. Well, it don't take a mission board. It doesn't take Olive Branch. All it takes, folks, is one man in God. And I'll tell you what. Excuse me for my own testimony. But I can take you to the place in the field where the Lord said to Jay Fox, "Jay, go start a school in the city of Reading." When we went to buy our building 7-8 years ago, I had claimed that building for the Lord. I said, "Lord, 410 South 14th Street. You know where that building is? It's going to be Fairview Christian School someday. You're going to give it to us, right?" He said, "Right." My son came home from work one day and said, "Dad, that building's up for sale." I said, "Oh, boy, You know? And said, "We want to buy it." Who was I? School board, ministers, family, all these church. I had to convince all these people that we ought to buy this building. You know, that's not easy. Really not easy. But I went for it anyhow. And I finally convinced them all, but a few. I convinced them about all that we should go by that school. They wanted close to $100,000 for it. I put letters out. Every place that had revival meetings, they got a letter. That was about 120 places or so. They went out and they got the letter. And you know what? That building cost us over $500,000 till we got everything fixed up, and it never in debt one penny. I want to tell you, folks, one man in God. God can do so much for us. I took our students on a field trip to a place where they have old farm equipment and how they used to farm back in the 1800s. And I had to park the bus, left the children out, and had to park the bus, and it just got done raining. And I drove down the road about a half a mile or so, and they said, okay, when I caught them, the guy said, you park in the field. I said, you know, it just rained. He said, go park. Okay, I'll go park. So I went in, turned in, and probably about 500 feet in the field, guess what happened to the bus? It went down, okay? And then the wheels were moving, but I wasn't. You're ever in that position? The wheels are moving. I have an S10 pickup truck, too. I'll tell you, when it snows, I have to let that thing set because the wheels will move and I won't. Well, anyhow, I got stuck. And the bus was jumping up and down, you know, and the more I tried to get out, the deeper I got in. Soon the mud was flying everywhere. You know what, folks? I believe in the theory you either fish or fight. Okay? Fish or fight. The bus was, the wheels were spinning, the mud was flying, and we don't go anywhere. I went to the guy that told me to go park in the field, and I said to him, look, I said, sir, I said, I thought that would happen. He said, that's your problem now. You know, that's exactly what the devil does. He gets you into something, and he said, well, that's your problem. Well, we had to get a big tow truck out, try to get it out. Well, Jesus was able to walk in the sea. He hushed the sea by saying, peace be still. He healed the multitudes with no medicine. No medicine. And he could heal the multitudes. He made no charge for his service. Folks, this is my Jesus. He don't charge for his service. He heals the multitudes without medicine. We had a little girl in our school about 8 years old. She was running faster than her legs could carry her. And she wiped out. And she had some pretty nasty brush burns on her legs and on her arms. And about every day I go to her. I believe every day I go to her and I say, how are you doing? And I look at her arms and I say, look, the little doctors are fixing that up. She don't have to take any medicine for it. She don't have to take any pills, any vitamins. The Lord just heals it. And that's, our Lord is so wonderful, folks. He heals us when we need, with no charge for his service. He never wrote a book. My Jesus never wrote a book, never wrote a song. He never wrote a poem. He never founded a college. He never practiced medicine. Yet he healed more broken hearts than anyone else. Folks, that is our Jesus. We have such a wonderful Jesus. Folks, we ought to be developing such a love for my Jesus. You know, I think of the Lord's Day. Do you know that the devil would like to do away with the Lord's Day? He would. Some people say, well, whatever is relaxing on the Lord's Day, that's what you do. If mowing the lawn is relaxing, and that's what I like to do. I love to mow the lawn. Whatever is relaxing, mow the lawn. If it's fishing, I don't know, can you go fishing on a Sunday? You can't go hunting, right? You can go fishing on a Sunday. Okay, that's relaxing. Folks, I want to tell you something. We ought to have, and I don't think we have to be legalistic about the Lord's Day, okay? I buy gas once in a while on the Lord's Day, okay? But you know what, folks? I ought to love the Lord that much that my heart just loves the Lord and I owe him a day of praise and worship an encouragement. I should do it because I want to do it. Because I love my Jesus, I don't want to work. You know, when you don't love Jesus a whole lot, then, you know, the Lord's Day don't mean a whole lot, I guess. Jesus never had an army. United States, we have a pretty powerful army. He never drafted a soldier. Every 7 days now, multitudes gather together to worship him. The man, the name of this man, folks, that is Jesus. He did all these things. He abounds more and more. It's over 2,000 years now that he gave his life for us. Herod could not kill him. Satan could not subdue him. You know, we just came through the Easter season thinking how Pilate said, you make a sure watch. You make sure that that deceiver that said he's going to rise again in 3 days, go and make a sure watch. Satan could not subdue him. Death could not destroy him. The grave could not keep him. Rome could not condemn him. The Pharisees could not silence him. That's my Jesus, folks. He's a great and he's a wonderful God. He stands today at the highest pinnacle that there is. The angels adore him. Demons fear him. Living reigns, he lives, and he reigns victoriously. Folks, he is now King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. That's my Jesus. He is the Lion in the tribe of Judah. He is the Son of the living God. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He's the one who gave his life for me so that I could have eternal life. That's my Jesus. Jesus is the Son of the living God. And he's soon coming back. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. It will never end. Never a man in history who was the Savior and yet they crucified him. He died, he was buried, and he arose again just as he said he's going to do. That is my Jesus. As Jesus lived, folks, that's how we're going to live. The greatest day in history is going to be, folks, when Lester, my daughter Diane, my granddaughter that died of crib death, there's going to be the greatest day, and all your good friends, the greatest day is going to be when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive are going to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Our family was together for on a Christmas day. And it was a beautiful Christmas day. The snow was coming down, and they were kind of big flakes. It was so beautiful. It was about 8, 9 o'clock at night. And all of a sudden, it lit up. Daytime. We go, whoa, what is going on? Some of my children were at the end of the driveway, about a quarter of a mile. And they thought the Lord's coming back too. But it didn't take off. And my daughter said, Lord, please lift us off. Take us. We didn't know what it was for a while. But they discovered later what it was. Some transformers blowing up. But the whole area, a couple miles around, everything just became like daytime. Folks, Jesus is coming again. Jesus is the champion of death. He's the champion of hell. He's the champion of the grave. Hallelujah, folks. That's the King that you and I are serving. He's the champion over death and the hell and the grave. Nothing could keep him. That's my Jesus, folks. That's why I love my Jesus. He is called a fool. He was the King of glory, and yet they put a crown of thorns on his head. The church called him the known church called him a hypocrite. They call him a liar. They call him demonized. They call him a heretic. And it says that Jesus spoke not a word. That's my Jesus. How do you react when you are falsely accused? Do you not say a word? All of you already were probably falsely accused. Tell you what, when you're falsely accused, Jesus is that wonderful example. Just don't say much. Jesus didn't say anything. So Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our joy. Jesus is our salvation. There is no other name whereby man can be saved other than the name of Jesus. Have you accepted Him as your Lord and your Savior? He can save you. He can heal you. He can deliver you. He can comfort you. He is the God of all comfort. When you need to be comforted at a death, I hardly know what to say at times. I had funerals of teenagers. You know, teenagers, just because you're a teenager. I had the Maranatha Bible School. Some of you went to Maranatha Bible School. I was there. The term that five young people were killed. At the snap of the finger, there wasn't even bloodshed in the car. They were all looking one direction, and they hit another truck, I believe it was head on, and snapped their necks just like that. I had revival meetings in their home church the following year. And I picked up a book that the girl had written. I saw my name there. I said, oh, you know, I want to see what this says. Mentioned the fact that I was the speaker and how the Lord was working in her life at the Maranatha Bible School. Folks, you have no promise for tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. My little daughter, as I mentioned, granddaughter, she had crib death. We got a call from my daughter. She said, I killed my baby. I killed my baby. She thought she killed her baby because they did crawl up into the corner of the crib and maybe she couldn't get air to breathe. My wife and I jumped in the car. We had about 8 miles to go. The police passed us. The ambulance passed us. And then we got there and then they treated us like criminals. They treated my daughter like a criminal until they could prove her innocent. And nothing happened. Folks, where does the world turn to when you have a child? I was sitting in the hospital where a baby had just died. The mother was cursing and swearing and blaming Jesus for the death of her child. I went over to her and I said, don't blame the devil. I said, it's not the devil. I mean, don't blame Jesus. I said, it's the devil, the last enemy that is destroyed. I said, get angry at the devil, not at Jesus. Our God, folks, is a God of comfort. Where would we turn to, folks, if we wouldn't have a God that is a God of comfort? He's our peace. He gives us the peace that passes all understanding. When you give your life over to the Lord, He will give you a peace that the world cannot give. He wants to give you joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory. We as Christians, folks, we ought to be the happiest people around. You know that? We ought to have the biggest smile, the greatest joy, the most peace, the greatest comfort, the greatest hope because of what Jesus done for us. He is our gift to us. He has given us the gift of eternal life. Now Jesus looks down And he is now, he says, I have conquered you all. I have defeated the enemy. I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the bright and the morning star. Jesus, folks, Jesus is just simply everything that you need. You cannot get any other package, any other insurance company. Folks, get insurance for your soul. Get insurance for your soul. I have my cars insured. I have fire insurance for my house. Folks, and I think I might be talking about that tomorrow evening, securing our faith. Well, the third heavens is where Jesus is. The second heavens, the prince and the power of the air. You know, when you stop and think of, I can't explain this thing at all that I'm on here. I can't see how this stuff happens. To think of all the evil waves that are going through this building here. I suppose that's what it is. I don't know if it goes through the walls or electric or, you know, how it is. But the devil is the prince and the power of the air. He is our conqueror. Well, someday, we're going to reign with him forever and ever. Just as Lazarus came forth, that's how Jesus is going to come forth. There's going to be a time that my Jesus, we will not be, will reign forever and ever, and we don't have to share the power. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the only begotten Son of God. I am the precious day star. I am the dread of hell. I am heaven's wonder. I'm immortal. I'm invisible. I'm the word of light. And I am, behold, the Lamb of God. I am the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. It's only Jesus, folks, that can do that. So his name is very precious. I think of the Lord's Prayer that we pray. We pray, for thine is the what? Say it with me. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's the kingdom, folks. Jesus has a kingdom that will reign forever and ever. So his name is very, very wonderful. A very wonderful name. Because it is a saving name. The only way to be saved, folks. Only one way to be saved, and I stress that, and I'm going to stress it every night. The only way to be saved is through Jesus Christ. The only way. And I am so convinced, folks, because the Bible says, I have a conviction that when you're born again, your life is changed. Your life is changed. You don't muddle around in the mud after you're saved. I'm not saying you don't struggle, okay? The Lord understands our struggles, and I'm so glad he does. He understands what he was tempted in all points like we are, yet he didn't sin. Because of his wonderful mercy and his grace. Jesus is the only way. Well, folks, it really is time to stop, but you know who to see. Because I went a little longer tonight, okay? Well, to think of who Jesus can save. The first night I mentioned about this man, and it's no secret at all. I hear I have a mission in Jamaica. This man was a minister in Jamaica. He's living back up in Lebanon County, and he's serving the devil. He was a missionary. He was a minister. He has a wonderful family. And today, he is the vilest sinner I talked with him on Sunday. And you know, I'll say what I said again. I said, could you teach me something? He said, I know everything in the Bible. Everything that needs to be known, I know. I said, well, teach me something. Teach me what I must say to get you saved. Well, he's such a big sinner. But you know what, folks? It doesn't matter how big your sin is. You can be the vilest, biggest hypocrite here tonight. You know what, folks? Hypocrites aren't outside the door looking in. Hypocrites are inside looking out. I always said, folks, living in a city with 8 children, I never feared losing my children by them associating with the druggies, the drunkards, the cussers, all of that. You know what is far more dangerous than living in the city? It's that lukewarm Christian that's sitting alongside of your child in church. That's the one you fear. Hypocrites in the church is what you fear. The Bible says about being lukewarm. He says, if you are lukewarm, I'd rather that you were cold or hot. But not in between. None of this in between stuff. Okay? A lot of young people fall because of the hypocrites that are in the church. So he will save the vilest sinner. Whether you are a hypocrite, whether you are a carnal Christian, whether you are a prostitute, or you're the prodigal son, or you may have a form of godliness, but you're denying the power thereof. Human blood, you know that human blood, you have human blood on you, you can never get it out of that piece of cloth. You know that? But the blood of Jesus Christ, folks, can wash that and remove all sin. It is because of His blood in giving His life that washes away our sins and makes us whiter than snow. 2 minutes yet, okay. I'll do a bunch of skipping here. I mentioned the other night, folks, the tomb is empty. That's what makes our whatever we want to call it, religion. That's what makes our life the joy that it is because I'm going to just end with, I have these written down here yet. Some of these I got out of Bible doctrine, some pieces here and there. Jesus is our power, our strength. He's our Redeemer. He's our refuge. He's our Comforter. He's our only hope. He's our Mediator. He's our Shepherd. He's our Rock. He's our Light. He's the Author of our salvation. He's the Builder of the Church. He's the one who forgives sins. He's our Lord. He's our Intercessor. He's our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's everything. How can you turn a friend down like Jesus? How can you not tell someone about Jesus? You know, all of us know what 1 Corinthians 11 is. Few of us know what 1 Corinthians 9 says. Both 1 Corinthians 11 talks about the veil. But I want to tell you what, folks. Is it optional whether you're going to tell someone about Jesus or not? If you feel like doing it, you can do it. But if you're not into it, I believe, folks, I believe when you're born again, you're going to tell other people about Jesus. That's what I believe. And I believe if you're not born again, if you don't have a faith that's worth talking about, you won't talk. If you don't have a faith that's worth suffering for, you won't suffer. If you don't have a faith that's worth dying for, folks, if you have a faith that is worth dying for, you're going to be talking about it. Well, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, go. Go ye therefore. Again, I learned that from my dad. When my dad said go, I knew he meant go. And when I said go to my children, I had a boy today. He was kind of bad in school. He comes from a very sweet family. Actually, his parents are she's a dentist, and he's a lawyer and a preacher, and this is a boy, so I always handle him very carefully because I don't want to go to the court, you know. But I went to him. He was bad. And I said to him, go. You know, we have a message, folks, that Jesus has, he told us, go. Go and tell everybody. And as you go, by your life, tell people about Jesus. Your life, your words, your actions. Folks, we have such a wonderful Jesus to talk about. And we talk so little about him. I just challenge you. Just tell one person this week, a lost person, about Jesus. One person. Can you imagine how Jonah must have felt? I often try to feel like Jonah. When God told Jonah, go to Nineveh, that wicked city, they don't know the difference between their right hand and their left hand. They're so evil. And Jonah, God said, Jonah, go. I don't blame Jonah for going going the opposite way. I probably would have most likely done the same thing. I don't know. I was glad when the Lord asked us, when the Lord asked us to move to Reading, I got into it gradually, okay? Jonah had no chance. He had to go. Folks, I'm just saying go. It's not waste of time. The greatest joy you ever have is when you win a person to the Lord. That's the greatest joy. And your life ought to show to the world. Our school is very, very unusual, okay? We have people from the city begging to get into our school. We have room for 150 students, and that is it. No more, okay? But this lady was like the lady in the Bible. About 5 years ago now or so, she called. She wanted to get her daughter in our school. She works in an insurance office. She wanted to get her daughter in our school. I said, we're full. Oh, she said, please just take my daughter. I want to have her a Christian. She was something like a Lutheran. Couldn't you get her in her school? I said, look, we're full. But I said, I'll tell you what, if you come to church, the people that come to church get in first. She said, I'll come to church. She came to church, and within about 2 months, she was saved. And that lady's in our church ever since, and her daughter's in about seventh grade, somewhere in there. What a wonderful change has been wrought when Jesus comes into our heart. Folks, go with the message. Go. It'll bring you the greatest joy. You won't want to buy another farm. I won't want to buy another house. I won't want to go to Hershey Park. I won't want to go to places of entertainment. But you know what? When you don't have that, you're looking for peace. But I want to tell you something, you won't find it. The only place you'll find it is in Jesus. And he satisfies you from the things of the world. He just does. And his satisfaction is so beautiful. If you're here tonight, the first part of the invitation will be if you want to rededicate your love to Jesus, you want to talk about him a little bit more, You want to commit that you're going to tell someone about Jesus? I'm just going to ask you to slip up your hand, and you're making your own vows, your own promise. You know, I told you last night, what did I tell you? You work your blueprint out, okay? If you don't have a blueprint, don't even start building, okay? If you have a blueprint, you know what you're going to build, and then you do as the Spirit leads you. Then we're going to sing one verse. If you're here and you're lost, you do not have Jesus in your heart, and you want the best friend. Folks, don't think of Jesus and God as up there with a sledgehammer ready to hammer you down as soon as something goes wrong. That's not true. He is up there, and he's saying, come unto me, all ye that labor. He begs, he says, just come to me. He picks up the little children, and he sits them on their lap. Folks, I want to say something. You know who to blame. You know, the Mennonite church was always against child evangelism, I tell you, there's nothing further off than that. You don't wait for your child evangelism, to talk about Jesus till they're about 12 years old. I tell you what you do. You get them when they're little. The smaller, the better. The smaller, the better. The more you can tell. I believe the seed that was sown. I believe, folks, that children are that fertile, good soil. And I tell you, men are about the hardest soil, even in the church. If you have a revival meeting where men are revived, the evangelist feels like he really got something accomplished. Yep. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our kind Heavenly Father, we come before you in prayer this evening. Lord, we have such a great, wonderful Jesus. Lord, we can't describe him. We can't give all the benefits. There are too many. So, Lord, if there's someone here tonight that has a problem of a relationship with Jesus, they don't love him as they ought to, Lord, I just pray that you would light their fire tonight. It's that song that we sang. Lord, light the great fire of love in our hearts. So if you're here this evening and you want to renew your love with Jesus by loving him and by sharing the good news of Jesus, you're here and you want to give your life in a new way to the Lord, I'm going to ask you just to slip up your hands. I see your hands. Yes. I see your hands. I see your hand. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Lord, thank you again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.